Hello, this is Dr. Charles Roberts welcoming you to a midweek Bible study from Reedy River Bible Presbyterian Church in Conestee, South Carolina. Today's study is relating to our current study in the book of Exodus, in which this coming Lord's Day I'll be preaching from the latter part of chapter 4 into the first part of chapter 6. The book of Exodus, of course, is a remarkable book for a lot of different reasons. There are many personal applications and lessons that we can learn. For example, we've already talked about in our study how Moses is a man timid who doesn't think that he can do anything for God, but God gives him courage and strength to move forward, principles we can take in our lives on a day-to-day basis. We learn about the challenges of immorality and dishonesty and these sorts of things. But it's important that we not miss the larger, what I'll call world historical issues that are on these pages, because they are extremely relevant today. We have in the persons of Moses and the Pharaoh the representatives of two systems of religion, two worldviews, if you will, that are grounded in the earliest history of the human race, all the way back to the beginning, when God created a paradise and he placed man in that paradise to have dominion over it, to subdue it, to be his vice regent in this place. Man failed, and the influence of Satan rose to challenge that of Almighty God. That challenge predated, I believe, what happened in the garden. But at any rate, we know that, of course, Christ Jesus came and defeated Satan. But the influence of power religion still is with us to this day, and that is exactly what it is. It is the aspiration of power apart from God's law and apart from God's influence. We see this in the killing of Abel by Cain. We see this in the earliest movements of humanity following the fall, where the whole desire was domination and power apart from God. The building of the Tower of Babel was a demonstration of power apart from God. The building of all the vast empires that have striven mightily across the pages of human history and crumbled in the dust. That's an indication to us that this aspiration for power religion is doomed to fail. Pharaoh obviously represents power religion, satanic religion, the fallen worldview that sees man as the ultimate. And by the way, human history shows us that when that is the philosophical, theological, religious foundation of a culture, that human beings, humanity, man is the foundation of all things, then the highest expression of that power is seen in the state. Pharaoh was not just a guy who walked around and thought he was God. He was the head of a state. He was the head of a government. And he was a politician. That term means something a little different today, but in many ways it applies to him. He's an oligarch. He's a man who believes in his own power, his own goodness, and that everyone in the world owes him something, and that he has dominion and authority over everyone. But it is a false dominion. So wherever God's law is shunned, wherever man is seen as the measure of all things, the highest expression of that aspiration is in the state. But by contrast, Moses represents God's law, dominion religion. God gave man that charge, as I said, to have dominion over the earth. This is given to us in Genesis 1. And the thing that characterizes dominion religion is total dedication to God and abiding by his divine law and revelation in Holy Scripture. Of course, Egypt had its laws, but they didn't come from God. They came from false gods. They came from the presuppositions, the preconceived notions that man is the foundation of all things. And if there are any gods or a god, then he or they are subservient to man's power and authority. Dominion religion, in the name of the true God, Yahweh, contradicts and declares that to be null and void. But furthermore, as we will see as we go through this study, time and again warned the Pharaoh, you are doomed. Everything about your life and your culture is going to crumble to the dust if you continue to resist and disobey the command of the true lawgiver, Yahweh, the true God. But it's important to remember, as I move toward bringing this very brief study to a close, that between these two poles of power religion and dominion religion, there's something that we might call mystical or pietistic or escapist religion. Now, this is important because this approach to being Christian in particular has dominated a large part of Protestant Christianity in particular for several hundreds of years. It is escapist in the sense that it recognizes the problems with power religion, what we might call atheistic or godless religion, and its impact in society. But at the same time, because of faulty theology, it's convinced itself that God's law, that God's standards of justice don't apply in the modern world, and that indeed the most important thing we can do is glory in our union with Christ and more or less await a disembodied heavenly state. I'm over-characterizing the point of view a little bit, but not by much. That our future is not in this world, that this world is evil, it's going to be destroyed in some great cataclysm, the Antichrist will come in the dispensational form, that's one way it's manifested. But there are non-dispensational end times forms of this as well. Currently, in the Reformed churches, in some, there's the rise of what's called two-kingdom theology, which is a form of this pietistic retreat. And that approach says that the sole and only purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ and of Christians is to proclaim salvation by Christ, which means asking the Lord to save you, and you have no interest whatever in speaking God's truth to politics, to education, to culture, in any shape or form. Because that is simply outside the purview. Whatever those people are going to do, they're going to do. Your goal is to, quote, get them saved. Now, I'll be the first to admit, I don't know enough about two kingdoms theology to know what the better ones would say after someone becomes a follower of Christ, what their ethical standard might be. I assume they would say it would be something like the Ten Commandments, but that's as far as it goes. I have no interest, if I follow this point of view, I believe, in recommending God's law for anybody else. Why would I? Well, my friends, escapist religion is just as flawed as power religion, and they both lead to a total dead end. Mark Rustuni, the current head of the Chalcedon Foundation, published an essay just recently that speaks to the situation we find ourselves in as I record this in November of 2020, and I recommend it to everyone. You can find it on the chalcedon.edu website. It's called Walking by Faith When We See Only Problems. And in that essay, he made this observation, and I'm going to quote him directly here. He said, "My father," meaning the late R.J. Rustuni, "frequently referred to our current crisis as the end of an age. The post-Enlightenment world, he felt, had run its course, and the age of humanism and statism was, so to speak, running on empty. Its death throes would be violent and dangerous, but it was nearing an end." This is where we see things going today. That was the end of the quote, by the way. We're in the death throes of statism because it can't sustain itself over time. It must implode on itself and destroy itself. This doesn't happen in decades. Sometimes it may be centuries, in the case of ancient Rome and of ancient Egypt. Mark Rustuni further commented, "The problem with politics is that it is the means to acquire and maintain power in a statist culture. An alternative means to power is wealth. Politics, often in the form of political correctness, a form of censorship, now controls the media, entertainment, courts, academia, and more recently even sports." He said it's seen as a vehicle to establish one's power over others, so it increasingly dominates every aspect of our lives to define justice, rights, progress, and freedom. And he said now even religious groups are being ordered to conform to it. And if I may continue to quote him here, I think the article is worth quoting at length. "Our culture is dysfunctional because statist humanism is failing just like Rome's corruption and infighting hastened its weakness and eventual collapse. It was replaced by Christendom, but that took many centuries. And he said, when a system collapses, one must exist to take its place, or a dangerous void exists. This is what we see happening in the case of Moses and Pharaoh, in God's law versus man's law, power religion versus dominion religion. And in the case of the ancient Egyptian culture, it too would eventually perish and be succeeded by another. The lesson that we want to take away from this study today, and in the book of Exodus in particular, is that we should see around us that this is a true end of the age, that we are seeing the death throes of secular humanistic American culture, or an American culture that is Christian in name only, that only gives lip service to its serious belief in God. To quote Mark Rushdoony one final time, he says, the coming years will likely be unpleasant in many respects, but the change is necessary. The first Christians lived through the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. A later generation lived through the fall of Rome itself. The problems presented in our day seem at this point small by comparison. And then he wisely said, the crises of history come and go, but the kingdom of God survives, and it grows. My friends, I hope that this study will lead you to be more faithful in your devotion to God's word and God's power, God's dominion, God's authority. The future is as bright as the promises of Almighty God. And let us have our future set for us by the pages of Holy Scripture and God's promises, and not that of the news media or of politicians. Thank you for joining me in this brief Bible study. I wish you all God's blessing, and may he guide you and keep you until our next study together. Goodbye.